Well, tonight I want to talk to you about an incredible passage in Psalm. Psalm 107 gives us four scenarios, four stories of how individuals come to faith. It's a really exciting passage. And in these four stories, there are four steps that it takes. And so I think it should encourage you. I want to ask you the question, what's your God story? Interestingly, I was talking with Brian tonight, and Brian's in seminary class, and one of the things he had to do this week was tell his God story to the three mentors that he's working with. And he's able to give them 20 minutes. So if you had this moment where somebody asked you, well, what's your God story? What would you tell them? How would you express it? What would you say to them to help them understand clearly how they could have their own God story? Psalm 107 starts out, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. That's a command to you and me. We need to be able to tell our story. We need to be clear. We need to give thanks to the Lord. He is the one that changed our lives. What's your God story? Well, that's my God story. So I trusted Christ at the age of 6 and a half. My mom took me to a little church, and I, on the way home from prayer meeting, of all things, I asked her, when are you going to help me trust Christ? And she didn't drive off the road, but she pulled to the side of the road. We were on Highway 65 at the Milo corner, and we pulled out to the side of the road, and she led me again through the plan of salvation. And I prayed, and I trusted Christ at that moment. And I knew exactly what I was doing, and when I got home, I just had this wave of peace that came over me. And I look back at that moment saying, that's when God called me, and I became a child of God. That was my God story. Well, in our passage tonight, there are four scenarios here. The psalmist describes someone who's lost, and it's pretty vivid in what they say. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty. Their lives ebbed away. So in each of these four scenarios, we've got these four steps. The first one is trouble. They recognized they were in trouble. They had no way to help themselves. So this person wandered in desert wastelands. You can see that. Think in your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, your kids. Is there somebody that's lost? That they're wandering? They have no direction? They don't have a sense of eternity? And they're just stumbling through life because they don't have that God story. So that's the trouble. And then the passage said there's a moment where there's a cry. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. This cry, this is the moment that people trust Christ, when they cry out to God saying, Lord, save me. Like Peter said when he was walking on the water, and then all of a sudden he wasn't walking on the water, and he cried out, Lord, save me. It was just a simple prayer of faith, asking for the Lord's hand of deliverance. So delivered, he led them by a straight way to a city they could not settle. So this is the work of God in our lives. He transforms your heart. He cleanses your heart. He makes you whole. For the lost person, he brings them to the right path. He brings them and he sets their feet on a rock, and he gives them purpose for their lives. And then the last step is praise. I was lost, so let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty, he fills the hungry with good things. So as your testimony, it needs to include the fact of the trouble you had and the cry that you made to God, how he delivered you, and your thanks to him for changing your heart and changing your life. Well, when you think of somebody who's in the desert, the person that comes to my mind in Scripture is Hagar. You remember Hagar's sad story. She was a slave to Abraham and Sarah, Egyptian slave that they got. And so you know the story how Abraham was given the promise that he was going to have an heir. And he said, well, what about my servant? And the Lord says, no, not your servant. And so Sarah said, well, what about my handmaid? And so she convinced Abraham to take Sarah so they could, Hagar, so they could have an heir. They were moving outside God's will when they did that. And Hagar was the one who suffered for it. So when Hagar found that she was pregnant, Sarah got jealous and she actually got angry with her and kicked her out. And so Hagar wandered in the desert. She was lost. She had no hope, no place to turn, nothing. And yet the Lord saw her and found her and rescued her. And says, so she responded, she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me, for she said, I have now seen the God who sees me. This is her praise as she talked about her God story. Well, that's Hagar. That's the first wandering she had when she was pregnant. And then she had Ishmael. And when he became of age, he had a little tiff with Isaac. And so Sarah got upset again. And she kicked her out again. And so Hagar then left again. She went out and she sat down at about a bow shot away from Ishmael. And she says, I cannot watch the boy die. As she sat there, she began to sob. This was lost. She had nowhere to turn. She was no family, nothing. She was lost and wandering. And at the end of her rope, God heard the boy crying. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Don't be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift up, boy, and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. This was her God story. It happened in two different stages, but this was the moment where she said, you're the God who sees me. I know that. And now here's God speaking to her and rescuing her. He delivered her. That's Hagar's God story. Well, when we turn to the New Testament, Christ, that's his business of rescuing lost people. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because of this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's his business. That's what he came for. That's what he's trying to do in people's lives. Save those people who are lost. Well, the next story in Psalm 107 is, I was guilty. So this describes someone, some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. Well, certainly some people can have that as their testimony, that they are in jail or in prison and they're suffering in their darkness. But we all have that as our testimony as well, because spiritually, before Christ, you sat in darkness and you were in chains. You were chained to sin. Romans tells us that whoever you serve to that person or that entity, you're a slave. And so if you're a slave to sin, you're in chains. And you know people right now who are in chains. They're slave to sin. They're in darkness. They can't break their addiction. They can't break out of their chains because they're in trouble. And they're guilty because they rebelled against God's commands. That's the trouble. Here's the cry. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. And here's the deliverer. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. That was in Galatians we read that God delivers us. He breaks our chains And spiritually, that's what happens. When somebody comes to Christ, the Holy Spirit enters their life and breaks them of their addictions. It doesn't happen all at once. The fact that he comes in happens all at once, but sometimes we want to hang on to those chains, and we want to hang on to that darkness. But you've got the Holy Spirit within you to help you overcome those addictions in your heart, in your life. And so that leads to praise. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for all mankind, for he breaks down the gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Well, I should have had Cynthia choose Waymaker and talk about Chainbreaker, right? That's a great song. God breaks people's chains. Unfortunately, we just want to go back and reshackle ourselves to whatever addiction or sin that we like so much. And God wants you to walk away from it, and he gives you the power to do that through the Holy Spirit. So we need to praise him for breaking the chains in our lives. Well, who would you think of? Well, I thought of the Philippian jailer, which is an odd thing to think of because he wasn't the guy in chains. It was Paul and Silas. They were the ones that got thrown in jail, but they were sitting in the darkness. And what were they doing? They were singing, and at midnight, God came and broke the chains, and the doors flew open. And this great rescue, this prison break that God designed, and the jailer came in and said, hey, what's going on? And Paul says, hey, don't worry, we're all here. Nobody ran away. And the guy came in trembling, and he fell at his knees and said, what must I do to be saved? So you think about Paul's in prison, but the jailer was really in prison because he was in prison to the chains of his sin. And this moment rescued Paul, Silas, but it really rescued the prison guard. So here it is. The jailer called for lights. He rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That moment where the light comes on. People are in darkness. It says that Satan has blinded the minds of this world so that they wouldn't see the glorious gospel of the light of Jesus Christ. But here at this moment, the light goes on. He opens his eyes. He sees, I need what you have. How did he know what they had? Well, they were sitting there in the darkness after being beat and put in chains, and they were praising the Lord. They were doing what Psalm 107 told them to do. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell your story. And they were probably talking to other people about what had happened in their lives. And so this man knew about salvation because he said, what must they do to be saved? So they must have thought about their lives, how that had been changed. And he saw their lives were changed because they were the only ones that were joyful in a dark place. Colossians, he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son. He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Who do you know in your life that's in darkness? Who do you know that's in a chain? Who do you know that's guilty and they have no hope for breaking out of their chains? Jesus spoke into the people. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That is the option and the opportunity you have to share to people who are in darkness, to share Jesus, who is the light of the world, who can give them the light of life. Think about that person right now that you know that needs Jesus. Think about them and pray for them that the Holy Spirit would open their eyes and the light of the gospel would shine into their hearts and open their eyes so that they could live. Well, the third image in the passage here is, I was sick. We're back into Psalm 107. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death. So this is sickness that is near death. This is terminal. This is one of those moments where you look around and you say, wow, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And I'm just to that moment of death. So you know people right now who are sick. We have prayer lists where we talk about people that have cancer. They're going through various struggles. But that is only the temporary problem. The real sickness is the fact that they don't know Jesus. Their real need is a spiritual healing, not just a physical healing. And I think sometimes we are quick to pray for the physical healings of people, and that's great. That's scriptural. That's awesome. But we need to pray for people's spiritual healing, that they would come to Christ. So I was sick. The cry here in Psalm 107, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from all their distress. That verse sounds familiar. It sounds like that happened every time. And you cry out to God, he will come and save you from their distress. And he will deliver you. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Great moment. And then there's praise. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offering and tell of his wonderful works with songs of joy. Same pattern. Trouble, cry, deliverance, praise. Now, who would you think of in Scripture that has this testimony? Well, I thought of Nebuchadnezzar, which is a little odd because it wasn't like he was physically sick, although he was mentally sick, right? He had this moment where Daniel prophesied and said, listen, you're the big tree, and if you don't repent, God's going to come and cut you down, and you're going to spend 7 years wandering around like a wild animal, eating grass and living in the pasture. And so God gave him a year. A year later, he said something that was just filled with pride, and God fulfilled his promise and came and struck him down. So immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like the ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. So God brought judgment on Nebuchadnezzar to get his attention. He basically lost his mind. So he was sick. He was mentally sick. He was out of his mind for 7 years. So then, in God's grace, at the same time, my sanity was restored. My honor and splendor returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble. Oh man, what a testimony. I mean, that's not theory. I mean, he lived it for 7 years. He says, man, if you walk in pride, God can come and strike you down. And I'm here to testify that that's happened to me. Praise God, though. He delivered me. You're going to see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. Isn't that going to be exciting? To hear his story and his testimony. So, again, the pattern is trouble. I was in trouble. Cry. Deliverance. And praise. That's Nebuchadnezzar's God story. I was sick. Many years ago, I visited a lady in the hospital. Didn't know her at all. I think her. It was in my first church in Farmington, Iowa. I went to Keosauqua Hospital and went to the Keosauqua because their family, friends asked me to do it. I didn't know anybody. I just went. And I went and I met with this lady. And she was near death. And she knew it. And I met with her and shared the gospel with her. And she said, can you help me trust Christ? And so I shared with the verses. And I said, let me pray for you. And she prayed. And at the end, she had such a sense of relief and her heart, and she's smiling, and she's just like, it changed her countenance. It was transformational. It's just one of those amazing things where you see the Spirit rush into somebody's heart and change their life, And so she was sick, but Jesus healed her. Who do you know that's sick that needs the healing touch of the Lord? Well, our last one, Jesus says, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Again, we pray for spiritual healing. We pray for physical healing, but the spiritual healing is the most important prayer request. All right, back to Psalm 107, and this one is a fascinating one too. It's about somebody who's in business, and I was in chaos. And here's the trouble. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds of the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. I don't know if you've ever been in a windstorm on the lake. It's exciting, but it's crazy. I mean, Cynthia and I went on our honeymoon. We went on a canoe trip to the northern boundary waters, and I think we hit some waters every once in a while. Ooh, that's a little too much sometimes. But what a great image. Up and down, can't you just see? You can see the sailors on this boat and just rocking back and forth. Well, that represents people who are in, well, this kind of represents people who are in business and the ups and downs of business. And if you've ever been in business, you know that you're in the penthouse one day and the outhouse the next day. It's crazy, the chaos in your life. Do you know people in chaos? Then they cried out to the Lord in the trouble, and he brought them out of their darkness. I love that. I know people in chaos. I'm in chaos sometimes. I got trouble. The answer is to cry out to the Lord in your distress, in your trouble, and he'll deliver you. And that's, he stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them out to their desired haven. This is the great story of God's deliverance. Your life is in chaos, and you come to Jesus, and he gives you peace. He changes all that storm of your life and turns it into a peaceful, peaceful haven. I like this story. This psalm is the greatest psalm. I love it. Then the praise. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for all mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. Again, trouble, cry, deliverance, praise. Well, who would you think of? Well, in Scripture, there's lots of places that you can talk about shipwrecks. And this is the one that I thought of because of the sailors' response to, it wasn't their fault that they were in this situation, but their response was amazing. So this was with Jonah, and he took a ship to Tarshish, running away from God, and God came and found him. And so a storm came up, and the sailors ask him what they should do, and he says, well, just throw me overboard. And they didn't want to do that. They just felt like that wasn't the right thing to do. So instead, they did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Imagine, remember Psalm 107? The sea went up, the sea went down. Just, you can see it, you can feel it. Then they cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this innocent man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you please. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard. Wow. That was a crazy moment, right? But then the raging sea grew calm. That had to be even more frightening. Right, here you are, up and down. And you say, okay, we're going to throw you over there. Nothing. Oh my goodness. Look, At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. This was their moment of coming to Jesus. It was in chaos, and they had trouble, and they cried out, and God delivered, and they praised him for it. So Jonah gets the credit for getting these people into the kingdom. In spite of him, they trusted the Lord. Well, you know people in chaos. And the answer is, John 16:33, I've told you these things so that in you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You have a God story to tell to someone who's in chaos. You can tell them how you were in chaos and how God, through his deliverance, saved you and gave you peace. So when you think about Psalm 107, I was lost, like Hagar, wandering in the desert, but Jesus found me. I was guilty, in prison, in darkness, in the chains of my sin, but Jesus set me free. I was sick because of my sin, and Jesus healed me. And I was in chaos, but Jesus gave me peace. So my question to you tonight is, what's your God story? Can you verbalize it? It's not like anybody else's. All these stories, they came to God in different ways, in different circumstances. Not everybody was sick. Not everybody was in prison. Not everybody was in a storm. Not everybody was wandering. They all came to God in a different way, but they still came to God. And everybody here tonight, you need to have a God story, and you need to have it and be able to express it clearly so someone else can catch it and understand it and believe it. Right? Because the Philippian jailer is listening. There are people around you who are in chains and they don't even know it. They think they're in control. The Philippian jailer thought he was in control. And then he realized that he was the one in prison and needed Jesus. What a great story! The guys on the boat thought they were in control, and then they knew they weren't in control. And then when they threw him over, they said, oh my goodness, and the sea calmed down immediately. They immediately turned to the Lord. What's your God story? Think about that person in your life that needs healing, that needs deliverance, that needs rest from chaos. Think about that person. I've got a person I've been praying for 5 years. And he's gone through all sorts of health issues, and his wife had gone through all sorts of health issues. And in my mind, he's kind of a Nebuchadnezzar because he is so successful, and I think that he needs to learn the Nebuchadnezzar story. And I feel like he's almost ready. He's almost there. Every time I talk to him on the phone, I pray with him. And I ask him, have you trusted Christ yet? And he says, I don't know yet. I didn't grow up this way. I don't quite understand it, but I'm starting to lean into what you're saying. So I just keep praying for him. Keep praying for him. At some point, God's got to open his eyes. I know it. I know it. I believe it. But it hasn't yet that I'm aware of. Who's that person in your life that you're praying for that needs to trust Jesus? And you know that the things going on in their life can only be solved when they have faith in Christ. Who is that person that you know that they're in chaos, they're in darkness, they're in chains, they're wandering around, and all they need is Jesus, but they don't have him yet? Who is that person? Are you praying for them? Are you praising so they can see? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Lord, I thank you for these friends. I thank you for the God stories represented in this room. You're an amazing God. You saw us like that lost sheep, and you came, and you left the 99, and you came, and you found us, and you put us on our shoulder, and you brought us back, and you healed us, and you restored us. I thank you for the story of salvation. I thank you for each person's individual story. Help them now as they're thinking about that one person that is lost, that's in darkness, that's in sick, that's in chaos. Help them pray for them. Help them speak to them. And Lord, we're going to trust you as we cry out to you that you're the God of deliverance, that we can come back with some great stories of deliverance and great God stories that only you could have done because of your goodness to us. We thank you so much in Jesus' name.